Good evening. It's good to be able to come together this evening to worship God, and we appreciate the presence of everyone, especially those who are visiting. We're thankful that you're here, and we hope that you'll have an opportunity to come back when you can. This evening, we're going to be examining the question, is tithing for Christians today? There are things that are found in the Word of God that religions are practicing today, and they say that because they're in the Word of God, we need to be practicing those things today. And tithing is one such practice. It's found in both the Old and the New Testament, and there are religious groups that are practicing tithing or giving a 10% of their income to the Lord. And when we do not do those kinds of things today in the Lord's church, it raises the question, are we failing to do something that we need to be doing? Are we not doing what we're supposed to be doing? And so it's always good to examine those practices that others may be doing and practices that are found in the Word of God, but we're not doing those same practices. It would be good for us to ask why. If we are failing to do something that Christians should be doing today, then that needs to be brought to our attention, and we certainly need to begin doing that. But if we're not authorized to do those things today, then we certainly need to understand why and then help our religious friends and neighbors to see that same point. Tithing is a topic like that. And so I hope this evening we can learn some material to help us talk with others. No doubt we have religious friends and neighbors who do this very practice. What would we say to them if we were having a Bible discussion with them? What points would we make? What would we say from the Word of God? And so I hope that we can help along those matters. But not only that, we're going to find that when we make a study like this, it's always good for us to do it because when we examine the material, it gives us an opportunity to put on our thinking caps and see what other people have to say about things like this and think through it in our own mind. Use our brain, think through it, look at what is said and examine what is said. And later in the lesson, we'll be looking at a few quotes that will help to test our thinking ability. And it's always good to do that. When Paul, in Acts 17, reasoned from the Scriptures, he was not the only one doing the talking. There would be some Jews who would talk for a while, and Paul had to listen to what they were saying, and then he had to respond. When we have Bible discussions with individuals, it's not just simply one way. Unless you're having a discussion with certain religious groups that come knocking on your door, it tends to be just they're the only ones doing the talking. And then when you try to talk, they say that they need to leave. But most Bible discussions tend to be two-way, where both people have a chance to talk. And when somebody else is speaking, it's good for us to analyze and listen and look at that, and then compare that with the Word of God. So we'll be doing that as well this evening, and hopefully there will be some value in the study as well. And then finally, we want to look at what the New Testament says about giving, and it's not just simply a lesson on tithing, but on our giving under the Christian dispensation. And of course, we can certainly learn from that. The place to begin this evening, I believe, is just simply to remind ourselves of the point that there are religious groups today that practice tithing or giving a tenth of their income. And it's not just simply a practice, but the leadership in these particular religions encourage it and require it among their church. Our Baptist friends, especially among the Southern Baptists, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, United Methodists, the Presbyterians in the particular denomination, the USA, certain Pentecostal groups, the Worldwide Church of God, and there are other religious groups that engage in tithing. And it's not just simply suggested, but it's encouraged and in some cases required and strongly encouraged among the leadership. But not just what we would call Protestant denominations. There are worldwide religions that are non-Christian in nature that encourage or practice tithing. Islam, the Baha'i, Hinduism, Sikhism, and other religions that are non-Christian in origin, these types of groups engage in tithing as well. The question then, is this something that we need to be doing today as Christians, and is it required of God for Christians and the New Testament church? And I would hasten to say there's certainly nothing wrong if somebody wanted to give 10% of their income, and there's certainly nothing wrong in doing that. But there's a difference between what someone might want to do and it being required by law or being required by the leadership of a particular group. And so that's what we're asking today. Is it something that we must be doing in the New Testament church? The place to begin is by turning to the Old Testament. So if you'll turn with me this evening to the Old Testament, we're going to notice some things with regard to tithing. And whenever you have a discussion about tithing with your religious friends and neighbors, it will usually begin in the Old Testament. You might say something like, "Why do you all tithe today?" And they'll say, "Well, it's in the Old Testament, and so it's in the Bible, and so we need to be doing that today." The first thing that I'd like to do this evening is look at all of the examples that I know of tithing in the Old Testament. First of all, there are two examples prior to the Law of Moses at Mount Sinai. There are two examples under what we call the patriarchal period. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20, you'll find there that Abraham paid a tenth or a tithe of the spoils of war that he had gained after the battle of the kings there when he had gone to rescue Lot. And so we find that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. He was not only king of Salem, but he was high priest of God. Genesis 14 and 20. Then if you'll turn over to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22, when Jacob went to find a wife in Leah, we're fine there that he stopped at a place and called upon God and made a vow there at Bethel. And he said that if you will bless me along the way, then I will give you a tenth of all that I have. These are the two examples in the Old Testament that come from what we call the patriarchal period. And so before Moses gave a law to the Israelites that you must give a tenth of all that you have to support the priesthood, before that time, there was tithing under the patriarchal period that was clearly authorized by God. Abraham had been told somewhere and somehow that he needed to pay this tenth, and the same with Jacob. And so we're not given the specific revelation of where that would be in the patriarchal period, but God had told them that this was something that he wanted them to do, and Abraham and Jacob are obeying that very thing. Then the next set of examples comes from the larger portion of the Old Testament, and that is the period of the Mosaical period, or the Law of Moses, to the Jews. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 27. We're going to look at some of these, not all of them, but I want to pick out a few of these that are going to come up later in the lesson. So now's a good time to go ahead and read them. We're going to read these passages, and then we're going to be making points on them later in the lesson. So let's read together a few of these. In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30 to the end of the chapter, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is Jehovah's. It is holy unto Jehovah." The Hebrew word translated tithe is similar to the Hebrew word for tenth or ten. And so a tithe, of course, is giving a tenth. And here the seed and the fruit of the land. Verse 31, "And if a man will redeem aught of his tithe," that is, rather than actual giving the actual seed or the actual fruit, he's going to redeem that or put that into the money value and give the money value to the priest. Some have suggested that it was done one of two ways. The fruit or the seed was given to the Levites and then bought back or purchased back for money. Or it was just converted into money, the money value, and then the money given to the priest. Either way, the priest is receiving the money value of it rather than the actual object. And so if a man will redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add unto it the fifth part thereof. Notice that. So it's a tithe and then another 20%. We'll talk about that later. "And all the tithe of the herd or of the flock, whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto Jehovah." Notice with regard to the cattle that you could not redeem that or turn it into money. Whatever cow passed through, every tenth, whether it was good or bad, he shall not search whether it be good or bad. You could see what the farmer would do. He would go out and he would say, "Okay, I'm going to give every ten cows to the Lord, but he's going to pick out which one." It's just whatever comes by. And that allows it to be something where neither the herd is weakened, nor he just keeps the best for himself. If ye change it at all, then both it and that for which it is changed shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. So that would be one thing that could not be turned into money. Now look at the very last verse, 34. These are the commandments which Jehovah commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. That's a very important verse. Now turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. There are several passages in the book of Deuteronomy that mention tithing, but I want to turn to the Deuteronomy chapter 14 passage. Just for the sake of recording, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, the tithe is mentioned, Deuteronomy 26, Deuteronomy 27, but I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 14. If you would turn with me to Deuteronomy 14, verse 22, we learn something else about the tithe, and that is that the tithe could, before bringing it to the tabernacle, if it was a long journey, it could be converted into money. And then when the person came to the tabernacle and then later the temple, that money could be used to buy things for the sacrifice. That helps us to explain a little bit why there are money changers in the New Testament. We've always wondered, well, why are there money changers in the temple? Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, there had to be people there to people coming from different parts of the world and changing their currency into the local currency. But also the idea of being able to buy things for the sacrifice. And so when you come to the temple, you needed some money changers there to convert your money to go out and buy the sacrifice somewhere in town. But then another reason was you're coming with your money, and then you're going to be buying things there in town in order to fulfill your vow or your sacrifice. And so it helps us to explain those money changers later that show up in the New Testament. But in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22, thou shalt surely tithe all the increase of thy seed, that which cometh forth from the field year by year. Thou shalt eat before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, the tithe of thy grain, of the new wine, of the oil, of the firstlings of the herd. So this is a tithe that is going to be brought to the place where God wants. It would be the tabernacle and then later the temple. Now look at verse 26. Then thou shalt turn it into money and bind up the money in thy hand and shall go into the place which Jehovah thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow the money for whatsoever thy soul desireth, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatsoever the soul asketh of thee. And thou shalt eat there before Jehovah thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thy household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no portion nor inheritance with thee. One reason why the tithe went to the Levites was that was their support. They did not have an inheritance otherwise. So what I wanted to notice from verses 22 down through verse 27 is that here is a tithe now that is converted into money and then brought to the place of worship, and then the things are purchased to offer up the sacrifice. But while we're here, look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. There's a tithe at the end of every 3 years. Sometimes this is overlooked. And at the end of every 3 years, this is not the general tithe. And this is not the tithe that we've just read about that you eat at the tabernacle. This is something separate. And at the end of every 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of the increase in the same year. And that would be in addition to the regular tithe for that year. Of the increase of the, thou shalt lay it up within thy gates, and the Levite, because he hath no portion nor inheritance with thee, and the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. And so this tithe every 3 years was to go not only to the Levites, but also to the poor individual in thy gates. It's not something that's done at the tabernacle. This is not the same thing that was done earlier in the chapter at the tabernacle. So, and he shall eat and be satisfied, that Jehovah thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest. And so, the law of tithing. Let's look at one last passage. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. In Numbers chapter 18, we have the law of the tithe toward the end of the chapter. But I want to begin reading in verse 25. Numbers 18, verse 25. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, more so ever, thou shalt speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithe which I have given you from them, that is a tenth of all, for your inheritance. Then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for Jehovah, a tithe of the tithe. In other words, what they were given, they had to turn around and give to the Lord in the form of a heave offering. And your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and of the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall offer a heave offering unto Jehovah of all your tithes which you receive of the children of Israel. And therefore you shall give Jehovah's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all the gifts you shall offer every heave offering of Jehovah, all of the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof, out of it. So the best of what they get, they were to give to Aaron, a tithe of the tithe, mentioned in verse 26. That's basically the tithe then, summarizing that in the Law of Moses. You had what was known as the general tithe of all that you brought to the priests, a tenth. And then, that's Leviticus 27. And then in Numbers 18, out of that tithe, there was to be a tithe of the tithe. The Levites were to turn around and give the best of that to Aaron and the priest. And then there was to be a tithe that was brought to the tabernacle, and then a tithe that was given to the poor every 3 years, or and the sojourner and the widow and so forth. In summary, that would be the tithe of the Law of Moses. Now, later in Israel's history, when the tithe was neglected. And a lot of times when you do a study on tithing today, you'll find that when you get on different denominational websites, I was doing some research just for this lesson, you'll find that the leadership of these different denominations are really encouraging tithing, and they're talking about how that tithing is being neglected and tithing is falling on hard times. You think about the economy that we're in. You think about the economy that we're in and trying to get all the membership to give 10% of their income. That's going to be a challenge, especially in today's economy. So you can see how the leadership are really having a hard time with regard to the tithe. And so among some denominations, there's this renewed interest in getting out there and getting that tithing going again, because frankly, it's just being neglected. Well, under the old law, it was neglected by some. If you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, for example, in the days of Hezekiah, tithing had been neglected by the Israelites, and they were not bringing their tithes to the Lord. And so we're told that Hezekiah was one of his reforms with regard to getting rid of the idolatry and the different kinds of immoralities that were in the land. He restored the tithing, 2 Chronicles 31, verse 12. In the days after the Babylonian captivity, when Nehemiah came back, one thing that he encouraged was that the tithing had been neglected. And so in Nehemiah chapter 10, chapter 12, and chapter 13, there are things mentioned with regard to tithing. If you look at, turn with me to Nehemiah 13 and verse 11. Nehemiah 13, verse 11. Verse 10. This is even after the Babylonian captivity. You think God's people would have learned their lesson in that punishment. But even after they come back, we find Malachi, he's fighting abuses. Ezra's fighting abuses. Nehemiah's fighting abuses. Sometimes punishment does not necessarily, the message does not necessarily get across with some. So they just keep doing what they're doing. Verse 10. And I perceived that the portion of the Levites had not been given to them. That's the tithe. So that the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the grain and of the new wine and of the oil and so forth. And I made treasuries to keep all of this and so forth. They were neglecting that. So whenever it was neglected, individuals would rebuke that and work to restore that. And even Malachi had that problem. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Now, one reason why I want to read Malachi chapter 3 is there's some wording here that we're going to find that is a very strong rebuke. One thing that is happening in modern day denominations that are requiring the tithe, I found in researching this that some of them are turning to this passage in particular because it's a scathing rebuke of those who aren't tithing. And they like the language of this scathing rebuke. And so more and more things are being written, and more sermons are being preached using this text to get people to tithe. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9, you are cursed with the curse. If you'll do some research online among some of the denominations, you'll find that this comes up in some of the sermons that are being preached and some of the documents that are being published on the need for tithing today. You're going to be cursed of God if you don't do that. And Malachi 3 and 9 is the text that's being used. For you rob me, even the whole nation. Bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith Jehovah of hosts. If not, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so the preaching today that is being prevalent on the tithe, some of it is coming from here. You'll be cursed from God if you don't, and you'll be blessed from God, of course, if you do. If you'll turn back to chapter 1 and verse 1, just simply remind yourself, Malachi is talking to the Jews at the end of the Old Testament, the burden of the word of Jehovah to Israel by Malachi. Of course, we'll be talking about that more later. The sermon is a scathing rebuke. It is a very forceful message. You have robbed God. But keep in mind, it is a sermon directed to the Israelites under the old law. So yes, there is tithing in the Old Testament, and in summary, that would be the case there. Now, I raise the question, and this is some questions that we can begin to ask our denominational friends and neighbors, because when this question comes up, they're going to turn to the Old Testament and they're going to talk about tithing. The natural question today is tithing really being practiced like it was in the Old Testament? Let's go back now and look at some of those passages that we just read and ask a few questions. First of all, when you look at the Leviticus 27 passage, remember there, when tithing was offered in the form of money, remember what Moses said there, if you're going to redeem your tithe, you need to add a fifth to it, he said. In verse 31, that would be 20%. Well, what's a fifth? If you've taken a 10%, you're going to give 10% to the Lord. What's a fifth of 10%? Well, it's another 2%, isn't it? So the idea was there is, if you're going to convert this to money, you're actually giving the Levites 12%. You're not giving them 10%. You're giving them your tithe plus another 20%, or a fifth. Now, I raise the question, are denominational leaders today requiring 10% or 12%? Well, they're all requiring 10%. But to follow the law, if you're going to give of your tithe in the form of money, now let me ask you this, is there any denomination today that's receiving tithing in the form of animals? All of them are receiving tithes in the form of money. So it wouldn't be 10%, it would be 12%. And so if we're going to follow the Old Testament, if we're going to follow the Bible, at least follow it accurately, what we're going to find here, brethren, is this, and you really need to point this out to your friends and neighbors. And you'll have Bible discussions with them, and frankly, we just simply do not hold them to this. We let them off easy. But when someone is appealing to the Bible, at least they need to follow what's in the Bible. And you need to hold them to that. If they're going to appeal to a Bible verse, at least practice all of the Bible verse. At least practice it the way it is said to be practiced, if you're going to appeal to that verse. And sometimes we don't encourage that or require that or point that out, and then the conversation just goes on to other kinds of things. Like I said at the beginning of the lesson, this is not just a lesson on tithing. It's also a lesson on how to have a good Bible study with others about any kind of thing. When someone appeals to a verse, they need to at least practice it the way it is said. What's happening with regard to tithing and the Sabbath, instrumental music, modern-day miracles, tongue-speaking, people appeal to a verse, but they don't want to follow what the verse is saying. They appeal to the verse to get just sort of the general idea, but then we're not going to get the specifics of that idea. And so we'll just kind of go to the Bible to get tithing, you know, sort of this general concept of 10%. But we don't have to worry about the little details. No, if you're going to do it, at least do it the way the verse says. So the first question I would form is, are we really practicing it the way they were supposed to practice it? And the answer is no. Because denominational leaders are requiring 10%. They're not requiring a tithe plus an extra fifth that I know of. There may be some. Many do not. Number two, tithing had to be done by the Levites themselves. Do you remember Numbers chapter 18? When they received the tithe, they had to turn around and take the best of that, the Levites, and give it to Aaron and his sons. Are denominational leaders giving 10% of all the tithes they receive to someone above them? No, the buck stops with them. They're taking the 10%, but they're not turning around and giving of that, a tithe of the tithe, to somebody else. If we're going to practice these things, at least practice them the way the Bible teaches. So here's the best way you can help your friends and family. When you have discussions with denominational individuals, the best way you can lovingly help them to follow God's Word is say, look, I appreciate you appealing to the Bible, but at least follow what the Bible says. If you're going to appeal to a Bible practice, at least do it the way it's supposed to be practiced. No, it's okay just to get the spirit of the practice. No. We practice it the way it is practiced. And so maybe that would help them to see the inconsistency and the error of their way. Let's look at a third question. Is Old Testament tithing really being practiced today? Did you notice in Deuteronomy chapter 14 that every third year there was to be a tithe given to the sojourner, not just the Levite? Now let me ask you this. In modern day denominational tithing, every 3 years, does the tithing go to someone other than the leadership, other than that church? No, every tithe always goes to that church. It is never given to anybody else. Are denominational leaders requiring 10% to be given to those outside their denomination every 3 years? No. But the law required every 3 years to give to the Levite. That would be like giving to your denominational leadership. And then you also give to the sojourner who's not even among you, who's not even a part of you. This is another element that's just simply not being practiced like the other two. Let's continue. Is Old Testament tithing really being practiced today? Tithing was done three times, not just once. There was a general tithe once a year, Numbers 18. There was a tithe, in addition to that, eaten at the tabernacle. There was a tithe every 3 years. Jewish scholars and leaders, even by the time of Jesus, began to call it the first, second, and third tithe. Even they understood the differences, even in Jesus' day. Historians will point this out. Jewish history points this out and so forth. Are denominational leaders requiring three tithes or just one? They're requiring just one. They're not even following what the Old Testament teaches on this very matter. And so, let's just be fair with what's going on. When people appeal to Bible verses for Bible practices, don't let them off easy by saying, well, we just sort of practice the general spirit of that verse. We don't necessarily have to do the details of that verse. No, you do. You do. Where has that been changed, where you just observe the general spirit of the verse, but not the details? Where has that been changed? And so I believe, in my judgment, in my opinion, we just simply let our religious friends down too easy on that point. And we need to hold them to that matter, and that might help them shake them from those things that they're not engaging in that are right. Now, before we go any farther, I'd like to look at some actual quotations that I have in a book involving tithing. And this is taken from the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to mention these particular quotes is, let's put on our thinking caps now. And let's analyze what this person is writing. See if you can catch some things before I mention some things. See if you can catch some things by way of answer to these types of things. I have a book called Good Stewards. It's by J.E. Dillard, and it was written in 1953 by the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And this particular book encourages being good stewards, good giving, and tithing to the Southern Baptist Convention. And this particular author realized that there would be people who would have objections to tithing. And so to answer these objections, he had an appendix in the back of this book in which he lists about 12 objections. And several of them I didn't even put up here because they're not closely related to our lesson this evening, just different kinds of miscellaneous objections. I picked out the ones that deal with how to handle the Scriptures. Let's look at objection number 2. Again, put on your thinking caps. Analyze these types of things. It will help us as we have Bible discussions with other individuals. The first sentence is the objection. I thought tithing was intended for the Jews, not Christians. That's a very good objection. And that's what we would say if we were talking with someone today. And so here's his answer. It starts right here. So were the Ten Commandments, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. They were all intended primarily for the Jews, but Paul tells us that they were written for our instruction, Romans 15:4, 2 Timothy 3:16. Just as these, that is, the Ten Commandments, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, just as these have been found helpful to Christians, so will be the observance of the tithe. Now just put on your thinking caps. How would you respond to that? How would you answer that? What would you say to that? Well, just a couple of things here. First of all, it's a very good objection. Tithing was intended for the Jews. Now, turn back with me. We're going to analyze each part of this quotation, but let's just take it bit by bit. Turn back with me to Leviticus chapter 27. We need to point out to our friends that tithing, there are two examples in the patriarchal period, and then the rest of the examples in the Old Testament fall under the law of Moses that was written to the Jews. And in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 34, after just mentioning the tithe, these are the commandments which Jehovah commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. And so, yes, it was intended for them. It was for them. Now, look at this right here. They were all intended primarily for the Jews. Did you catch that the first time we went through there? Did you catch that word? What does primarily imply? It's mostly for them, but it can also be for some other people. Listen very carefully. It wasn't primarily intended for the Jews. It was intended for the Jews. It wasn't primarily intended for the Jews. It was intended for the Jews, period. But when you say primarily, that also implies, well, then maybe later it can also be for some other folks. When you're having Bible discussions with folks, listen to one little word. One little word can change and set them up to already bolster their case. Don't allow one little word. There's nowhere in the Scripture where it says that the old law was primarily for the Jews. It just says the old law was for the children of Israel, period. It's for them. It's not for us. It's for them. And so, that's the first thing that we would need to point out. It was for the Jews. It's not for us. That's why we don't tithe today. It's not under the new law. It's the law that we're under, and we'll get to that later. Now look at this. Paul tells us that they were written for our instruction or learning, and I would say amen to that. That's right. But look at this little slip right here. Just as these have been found helpful to Christians, so will be the observance of the tithe. Now listen, are the things in the Old Testament helpful, or do we actually have to observe them? There's a difference. Are we using the Old Testament, as Paul said, for learning? Romans 15:4, they were written for our admonition and learning, or are they written for our observance? Those are two different things. Yes, we can learn from the Old Testament. Yes, we can be instructed from the Old Testament about a number of things on how God worked with His people. But there's a difference between learning from the Old Testament and having to observe it as a requirement. Notice how he slips it in there. It's helpful, and then we must observe it. See that little slip there? So, if we're going to quote Paul, Romans 15:4, let's quote him accurately. Paul says they were written for our admonition or learning or instruction. That's right. But he doesn't go on to say, and by that we must observe those things. That old law, Paul wouldn't have said that, because earlier in chapter 7, he said that old law was being done away, had been done away. That's why he didn't go on to say that not only is it written for our learning, but also for our observance. That's why he didn't say that. Because he had already said that the old law had been done away. So, the tithing was intended not primarily for the Jews, it was intended for the Jews, period. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, turn with me there, turn with me to Deuteronomy 5, and then we'll move along. let's just be reminded of this law of the tithing and Ten Commandments and other kinds of things. Deuteronomy 5:3. Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all here alive this day. The law of Moses was given to the children of Israel. One more thing before we close. Look at this up here. So were the Ten Commandments, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. They were all intended primarily for the Jews, but Paul tells us that they were written for our instruction. Just as these have been found helpful to Christians, so will be the observance of the tithe. Let me ask you this. Let's go back up here. If you were to take some time and go through the law, we know what the Ten Commandments are. If you were to go through the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, do you really want to be using that argumentation down here that it's helpful? You know some other things you can find in the Psalms? You can find animal sacrifice in the Psalms. You can find instrumental music. Of course, our Baptist friends already have that, and they appeal to the Psalms for their instrumental music. But there are many other things in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms that if you're going to take that approach, not only is tithing helpful, but all those other animal sacrifices and everything else, that's all helpful too. We need to be not just helpful, but we need to be observing them. Are they willing to go that far? No. It's a picking and choosing approach to the Word of God. And our denominational friends do it. They pick and choose what they want out of the Old Testament to apply to today. And that's mishandling the Word of God, as we'll see later. If you're going to appeal to the Old Testament for justification, you have to appeal to the whole thing, Paul said. Now let's look at the second objection. You quote Leviticus. That book was for the Levites only. That's the objection. And here's his answer. Are you sure? Are you sure Leviticus was for the Levites only? Well, how would you answer that before we go any farther? Was Leviticus for the Levites? Was it for the... Are you sure that it was just for them? That's why I read the very last verse of Leviticus. It said, these were the commandments that God gave to the children of Israel. Yes, yes, I'm sure, Mr. Dillard. I'm sure that it was for them. Now look at what he says. Jesus quoted Leviticus as follows. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 12. And here's his point. Since Jesus quoted Leviticus in the New Testament, that means that things that come out of Leviticus are for us today. That's his basic line of argumentation. In Mark chapter 12, when Jesus was talking about what is the greatest commandment, love God with all of your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, he quotes Leviticus in verse 31 when he says, the second is likened unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a quote from Leviticus 18, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. So since Jesus quoted Leviticus, is this a commandment for Jews only? If Jesus quoted Leviticus, are we forbidden to do so? In other words, if Jesus quoted Leviticus 18:18, why can't I quote Leviticus 27 that talks about the tithe? You see the line of reasoning there? Should we not, and I'll get to this last part in just a minute, but should we not let the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, and sanctified common sense guide us as to when we should quote it? So I'll get to that in just a minute. Let's go back up here. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is this commandment for Jews only? How would you answer that? Is that commandment for Jews only? No. You know what? Not because of Leviticus, not because of Mark 12. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Do you know why we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves? This is very important to catch this. Because that is repeated in the New Testament, and we're told under New Testament law by the Apostle Paul. I said Romans 12, I'm sorry. Romans 13, verse 8. Romans 13, verse 8. The reason this is not for Jews only, and it's for us as well, is because in the New Testament, Paul said that we are to love our neighbor. Now listen very carefully. Where in the New Testament are we told to tithe? That's the whole point. If something is repeated in the New Testament, we will gladly observe it and require it. And we must do these things. We must love our neighbor as ourselves. Not because of Leviticus, Jesus, Mark 12, but because of Paul. Paul said this. Now look at Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything save to love one another. Look at this. For he, and Paul is writing to the Christians at Rome. He, that's the he here. He that loveth his neighbor
has fulfilled the law. That's why we do it today, because Paul tells us that we need to do it. We need to love our neighbor, and when we do that, we will fulfill the law. Now look, he goes on to quote Leviticus later in verse 9. That's true, he quotes Leviticus. But before he even quotes Leviticus in verse 8, he tells us, he that loveth his neighbor, and that is he the saints at Rome, he the Christian. It's for Christians today, it's for the church today. So, Mr. Dillard says that it's for us today because Jesus quoted Leviticus, and if he can quote one part, then we can quote other kinds of parts, including tithing. No, it's for us today because Paul told us to love our neighbor. If Jesus quoted Leviticus, are we forbidden to do so? Mr. Dillard, am I forbidden to quote the first part of Leviticus that says, offer up animal sacrifices and fruit sacrifices of the land? Am I forbidden from quoting that and requiring that in your denomination? You must bring animal sacrifices. What works for him works for anyone. You know that old expression, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you can quote Leviticus 27 for the tithing, then somebody else could quote any part of Leviticus for the animal sacrifices and so forth. There would be no stopping point. And so, loving thy neighbor, Jesus quoted that from Leviticus because, listen, it's a principle that he and Paul and others intended for us to have today. Not because those things and all of those things in Leviticus are for us today. There are things in the Old Testament that are intended for us today. How do we know that? When they're repeated in the New Testament. Nine, for example, nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament. The Sabbath is not, and so we're not under that Sabbath law. We are under the rest of the nine, and the loving our neighbor, and anything else that might be repeated in the New Testament. That's how we properly handle the Word of God. And I'm going to deal with this last matter, and then we'll move on. The question is, how do we know what to quote and when to quote? Should we not let the New Testament, and I would say amen, look at how the New Testament writers are using these quotations. The Holy Spirit, I guess he means by that some personal moving of the Holy Spirit, I don't know. And sanctified common sense guide us as to when we should quote it. Listen, how do we know what part of the Old Testament is repeated for us today? It's very simple. We don't have to worry about sanctified. I don't even know what sanctified common sense is. I don't even know what that is. But it's easier than that. When Paul or someone in the New Testament mentions something from the Old Testament that we're supposed to be doing, we do it. It's that simple. If we just appeal to what we think is common sense, then our Adventist friends say, listen, it's common sense just to worship on the Sabbath day because it's in the Old Testament. And it's just common sense to have instrumental music and tithing. And other religions, using their sanctified common sense, have other kinds of things that Mr. Dillard wouldn't do. It's not a matter of these things down here. It's a matter of if it's repeated in the New Testament law, then we do it. Tithing is not repeated under the New Testament law, and so we don't do it. Let's look at another quote. I thought Christ did away with the ceremonial law, thereby doing away with the law of the tithe. Other than the word ceremonial, that's a very good objection. That's a great objection, and that would be an objection that we would ask. If Christ did away with the old law, then he did away with the law of the tithe. But look at how he answers it. The law of the tithe was not a ceremonial law. Let's just stop right there. He's actually right in that. There's no dividing up of the law. The law is the law. Some people have tried to divide up the law between the moral law and the ceremonial law that happened at the tabernacle. And then the moral laws is how you live in your life and the government and all that kind of thing. The law is the law, so there's no distinction. So he's right in that. The law is the law. But look at what he goes on to say. Is paying taxes, paying rent, or paying interest on a note a ceremony or a duty? The paying of tithes was in vogue before the days of Moses and antedates, that is, comes before the Levitical law. You remember Abraham and Jacob prior to the Levitical law under the patriarchal system? It was simply incorporated into the Levitical law. So let's take each one of these sentences. The law, first of all, the law was done away in Christ, and we'll see that later in the lesson. The law of the tithe was not a ceremonial law. Is paying taxes, paying rent, or paying interest on a note a ceremony or a duty? How would you answer that? Do we need to pay our taxes?
Well, look at the same passage that we were at earlier. Romans chapter 13 tells us to pay tribute to those that are in a governmental position. Jesus said, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar. So we need to do those things. But because the New Testament tells us we need to do those things. We're not told in the New Testament that we need to tithe. That's the difference. Yes, we need to pay our taxes because Jesus, Matthew 22, Paul, Romans 13, said to render to Caesar, you see. And this idea, take for example, there's nothing that I know of in the New Testament with regard to paying rent, but in Matthew 25, the parable of the pounds in Luke and then the parable of the talents in Matthew, the idea of should you have not given my money to the banker and gotten interest from that, the idea of paying interest or interest on money is an authorized thing. These are all things that are authorized and duties because the New Testament teaches that. Where is the New Testament teaching that tithing is a duty? He just sort of mix and mingles things that are found in the New Testament with things that are not found in the New Testament. Tithing is not authorized in the New Testament. Now look at this. The paying of tithe was in vogue before the days of Moses and antedates the Levitical law. And that's true. It was in the days of the patriarchs. That's why we find Abraham and Jacob doing it. And I would say not just in vogue, but God wanted them to do that. But here's the problem. It was simply incorporated into the Levitical law. Here's the problem. Where do we find that it was simply incorporated into the new law of Christ? I agree that there was this thing taken from the patriarchs and brought into the law of Moses. I agree with that. But where do you find it being taken from the law of Moses and being incorporated then into the law of Christ? You just don't find that. He's right. He's actually right about all of that. But what you don't have is the parallel where all of that has been brought forward then and incorporated into the law of Christ. That's where it stops. He's trying to suggest that it's just been brought in, and it's just sort of brought in today. But there's no proof of that. There is proof that you have it in the patriarchal age and then in the law of Moses age, but you don't have proof where it was in the law of Moses age and then brought on into the law of Christ. When we put on our thinking caps and look at these kinds of things, we can better help our religious friends and neighbors. Let's look at another quote. The New Testament does not definitely command the paying of the tithe, and that would be a great objection. Just ask your friends, where is it commanded in the New Testament for Christians today? So here's his answer. And by the way, put on your thinking caps. This is not just a lesson about tithing. This is an answer that is given just about on any Bible subject that you talk about. Baptism, any kind of thing. This is a very common answer. Neither does it forbid it. In other words, it's not forbidden in the New Testament. Well, how would you answer that? It takes it for granted since it was commonly observed by pious Jews at the time. And we're going to see in just a moment some passages in the New Testament where we find tithing. But it was being done by Jews, listen, who were still under the old law until Christ died. The Jews of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's where you find the tithing, that was still a part of the old law. Christ was under the old law himself. Galatians 4, he was born under the law. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John deal with events that are taking place under the old law, and that's where we find the tithing in the New Testament. It was taken for granted, and it was observed, but the old law was still in force. Jesus commended the Pharisees for observing it. Absolutely, he did. He said, turn over to Matthew chapter 23. He said, you tithe mint, anise, and cumin, these herbs. You tithe that. You take out a tenth and you give it to the Lord. But you've left undone the weightier matters of the Lord, faith, mercy, and justice. Now listen to what he said. These ought you to have done, the tithing, and not left the other undone. He commended them for their tithing. He wanted them to continue. But they were living under the old law. That's why he did that. But Mr. Dillard is saying, well, if you find it in the New Testament, then it's for today. You do find it in the New Testament under the old law and before it had been done away. Look at this. If tithing was good for the religious Jews, who will say that it is not good for the Christian? Listen, we don't go on who gives us permission to do this or who will say this or who won't say that. We have to go by book, chapter, and verse. A thus saith the Lord. Who will say? Not Chris Reeves, not Mr. Dillard, not Larry, not anybody here or anybody in the world. The only person who's going to say what we need to be doing
are Christ and the apostles in the New Testament. That's who tells us what we need to do. That's who tells us what is good and not good for the Christian. He's saying, if Jesus commended it, who's us to say that we can't do it? We have to have authority for what we do, and we don't have that for Titus. Ought not a Christian to do as much for his religion as a Jew would do for his? Do you know that a Jew also offered up animals? So why wouldn't we do that today? And there's a number of things that Jews did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Mr. Dillard would not do. But it's this idea, well, if we find Jews doing it, shouldn't Christians be doing that plus even more? No, we do only what we're commanded to do under the old law. Many people don't think through these things, they don't analyze these things, and they just go along with what the leadership says. So, let's close our lesson now by noticing a few matters involving tithing, especially with regard to the law that we're under. Tithing is no longer required. You're certainly permissible. You're certainly given permission to do that. If you want to give a tenth, if I want to give a tenth, we can certainly do that. There is nothing wrong with doing that. But that's not what's happening in the denominations. They are requiring it as an observance. It's not required. Why? Because the old law that required it has been done away in Christ. Ephesians 2.14, Colossians 2.14, He had taken it out of the way, underscore it in your Bible, He had taken it out of the way and had nailed it to the cross. Is the old law written for our admonition and learning? Absolutely. But it is not a binding law, a system of justification. There's a big difference. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. The same man that said the old law was for our learning, that same man said we are not under that law as an observance for a system of being right with God. We can learn how God deals with people. We can learn about rewards and punishment. We can learn about faith. We can learn about a number of kinds of things from the Old Testament, but we are not under that as a system of observance or justification. Galatians 5:4, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified. Underscore that in your Bible. There's a difference, listen, there's a difference between going back to the old law to learn from it and being justified by the law. Underscore that. That's where you're saying you must do such and such in order to be right with God. You've got to go back and do such and such. In this case, verse 2, it's circumcision. But with our denominational friends, it might be the Sabbath day, it might be the tithe. There's a difference between going back and learning from the old law and going back and being justified by the old law. There's a big difference there. It's not our system of justification. Neither are we to allow someone to take the old law and judge us with it. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. That's what's happening in the denominational world. People are turning to the Old Testament and saying, Christians today, you must tithe. Our Adventist friends are saying, you must worship on Saturday. And they're going back to the old law to do it. That's a big difference. And then just simply saying, well, we learned from the old law. We're going back there and saying, you must do it because the old law says it. And Paul says, don't let anyone do that to you. Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat, book of Leviticus, or in drink, book of Leviticus, or in respect of a feast day, book of Leviticus, or a new moon, book of Leviticus, or a Sabbath day, book of... You get my point? All of these things are straight out of the book of Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Let no man... What are they? Verse 17. They are a shadow of things to come. And the shadow is not the reality. When the shadow served its purpose, it was done away with. Don't let anyone judge you with respect to these things that are coming straight out of the law of Moses. Why? Look at a few verses earlier. He hath taken it out of the way. That's why you don't let anyone judge you with that. People read verse 16, need to start with verse 14. The reason we don't let somebody stand there and say, you've got to go back and do this under the old law, verse 14, it's been done away, friend. It's been done away. It's just easy to see if we want to see that. And so tithing is no longer required. We're under the law of Christ today. Paul said, I'm under the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:21.
It's called the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 1. It's called the law of liberty, James 1:25. And if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8, we're told that that old law was going to be done away so that we're going to get a new law. Look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 8, a quotation from Jeremiah 31. And just bear with me, we're coming down to the close of our lesson. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The new covenant is the new testament in my blood. Jesus said, Matthew 26, in the Lord's Supper, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. It is not that law. It is a different law. And it is even clearer, look at chapter 10 and verse 9. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. It's gone. It's done away. It's taken away. And then the quotation again, verse 16 from Jeremiah 31. In verse 31. In the New Testament, we are to give not by a predetermined percentage of 10%. Let's just review our giving. And this is a good lesson for each first day of the week. And really not just waiting until Sunday, but throughout the week, we need to be planning and purposing our giving. If we're not giving, we are violating the New Testament law. We are to give upon the first day of the week. And so we need to be doing that. But it's not a predetermined tithe or 10%. What is it? Look at Acts 11. Let's look at three things here with regard to giving. First of all, it's according to the individual's ability, and that's going to be different with each person. The disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren. And so it's not a predetermined set 10% amount. Number two, it's based upon the proportion of one's prosperity. And that's going to be different. Different people have different incomes, different jobs, different family expenses, different kinds of things like that. Single versus married, married with children, married without children. We're all different in that regard. And so giving is based upon the proportion. Where do we get that? Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And by the way, are these passages coming from the old law? No. Are they coming from the part of the New Testament that was still under the old law? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No. We're looking under the new law. And when you look under the new law, you find nothing of the tithe whatsoever. You find only these matters of free will giving. First of all, according to ability. Number two, in our proportion. Look at verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, based upon a tithe or a predetermined 10%, no, as he may prosper, that no collections be made. And so it's based upon the proportion of one's prosperity, not a predetermined percentage. And then last of all, turn with me to the scripture reading that we had this evening in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart. It's not a predetermined percentage, but a purposing based upon our ability, number one, how we are prospering. The more we prosper, the more we give. And we're going to do that from a free will. Let each man do according as he hath purposed, 2 Corinthians 9:7, in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then God gives us the increase, and he gives us the blessing to do that. And we, verse 6, we need to be sowing bountifully. We need to be liberally giving, bountifully giving, but it's as one purposes in his heart, not as the leadership sets it and then says, you've got to put it in this pledge card and put it in the plate. And that's what's commonly done in the denominations today. The leadership is not determining a predetermined set amount. Moses, the law of Moses and the 10% tithe is not determining that predetermined amount. It was for the Jews, and it was for the Jews under the law of Jesus' day, but not today. What about tithing in the New Testament? Yes, Jesus commended tithing. He commended the pious Jews for their tithing. And there's an example in Luke 18 of the man that went to the temple to pray, and he said, I pay my tithes, you see. And we find that Hebrews mentions the tithing of Abraham to Melchizedek. Yes, and in the writings of the denominations today, they'll appeal to these verses in the New Testament that mention tithing and say, see, that we need to be doing tithing today. But look at every one of those examples. They're coming from persons living under the old law. They're New Testament references, but they are to persons living under the old law. Of course they're going to be doing that. It was a law of Moses. Where is the example of New Testament Christians tithing? There's not one verse in the New Testament. Where is the New Testament command to Christians in a local church to tithe? There's not one verse anywhere. And so we're under the new law. We're under the law of Christ. And that law regulates giving with regard to one's ability, one's proportion of his prosperity, and the free will that he has purposed in his heart, not the 10% tithe. That's why we don't tithe here. It's not just because we're sort of odd, sort of an odd denomination that doesn't really like that. We're going by the New Testament law, and we have no New Testament law commanding that. We're not under that old law. I hope that these things will help us as we talk with others, and I hope that they will help us to understand how to have Bible studies and the types of things that come up in conversations and how to answer arguments that are made. This is very good for us from time to time to put on our thinking caps and think through and look through those kinds of things, because at work and other places, family discussion, other places, these types of things come up, and so I hope that that has helped along the way. With regard to giving, I'll just simply close with this point. What God wants from you this evening is to give your heart and your soul to Him. There may be someone here this evening that needs to begin their giving with giving their life to the Lord in repentance and baptism, or if you need to come back as an erring Christian, you can repent and pray, and if you'll let your needs be made known, we'd be glad to pray with you. We'd be glad to have you come back. And we want to give ourselves. And I think this is a good way to close, because in that 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 passage, do you remember how that passage begins there with the Macedonians? It said that they had this free will offering. Do you remember how it began? It said they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave their contribution. That's where it begins. Give your heart, your life, your commitment, your service to the Lord. Everything else will follow from that. If we can help you, if we can encourage you, as we stand and sing this song of encouragement, why won't you come as we stand and sing?